Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 460. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, I know it's weird because we're recording two in a row now these days, so we're totally messed up as far as time, space-time, everything. But, you know, you've got a Kickstarter launching this week. You want to tell people about
it? Speaking of space-time...
So as
y'all are listening to this, the Alice Luck Kickstarter is live. The Alice Luck Space Adventures, three comedic novels. The tagline, you can go look it up. But if you go to aliceluck.com, that will redirect you to the Kickstarter. And if you're interested in just having a good time, just judging me harshly to see if I actually know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's really my dream. That's really why I do this. Then you can go back the project. If you back at $1, you'll get an invite to the closing party that we're going to do, wrap party. Ooh. At the end of it. But $7 gets you the first book and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of fun stuff there. And the point of it for me is to have a good time. I'm going to launch this series eventually later this year, you know, on other retailers. But for now, it's like, let's have a party. Let's get weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Sometimes you just need to let the freak flag fly and worry about the results.
Nothing righted on it for me. I could care less.
I love it. For me, coming up in just a couple of weeks, I'm really excited about my self-publishing live Write What You Love to Market event. That's the whole theme is about writing to market. And we've got some great folks like Jonathan Yanez. We've got Trixie Silvertail. We've got Emily Carter Childs, Phoebe Ravencraft from Best Page Forward. I'll be speaking. Chris Fox will be speaking. This is going to be a lot of fun. And I love doing these conferences that are around such a specific theme because there's just no escaping it. You can't be like, oh, I'm going to sneak over to the weird robot audiobook meeting. And it's like, no, there's no like off things. It's like all on a specific track and it's very controlling, just like I am. So...
Whoa, that really funneled down into a moment of deep reflection.
I know. Well, I am I like controlling every aspect of these educational things so that I don't leave anything to chance. Because I hate it when people get left behind on these things. Mm-hmm. And so
fair enough.
Yeah. I didn't feel judged by you for what it's worth, Claire. I'm just saying I wanted to clarify for anyone who was like, Brian's pretty weird today. So
let's just make it a weird show. Let's just get
I
weird.
Like a good weird show. I like
just
a good weird show.
Weird robot audiobooks. That's all we're doing.
We are going to, it is going to be, yeah, a lot of weird. So speaking of weird AI, so the question of the week was, which features of AI are you most excited about and which are you approaching with caution? Claire, why don't you read this one? Because we have something after this.
Okay. Talina Winters said, people are up in arms about AI being creative, but the truth is the same technology, that same technology can be the Jarvis to our Tony Stark, multiplying what we could ever accomplish without it. There will be some growing pains along the way, but those will eventually stabilize. Personally, I look forward to embracing the benefits of such technology will allow us to use.
Very cool. Thank you, Talina. And Paul Caro used AI to write a song about today's show. The generated lyrics are as follows. Kind of picture this like Tenacious D sort of thing. I see like Jack Black belting this out. So Brian and Claire were on a mission to find the hot potato of wisdom. They searched far and wide for the answers they couldn't find. Here's the chorus. A potato of wisdom. Gotta catch it before it's gone. Brian and Claire on the chase for the truth that they long. They traveled through mountains and valleys, through deserts and seas. They met wise men and women, but the potato was still out of reach. Hot potato of wisdom, gotta catch it before it's gone. Brian and Claire on the chase for the truth that they long. But then one day, in the midst of their search, they realized the wisdom was within them. Brian and Claire finally found the hot potato of wisdom. Hot potato of wisdom. Gotta catch it before it's gone. Brian and Claire on the chase for the truth that they long. With the wisdom they gained, they could face anything. Brian and Claire's journey had only just begun. And Paul Caro said, so based on that, AI is totally not evil? Or not totally evil?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly did something to me that I did not consent to.
Yeah, we should. Who owns this song now? I don't know.
Oh, man. When I read that in our after party group, I absolutely lost it.
I hadn't seen it. You texted it to me.
Yeah, I was like, have you seen this? What is happening? So yeah, there's, you know, there could be some fun, weird robot stuff to be found in AI for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So look at us trying to do the short show and taking a 3-minute musical interlude. So let's do the top story, which is AI voices could win despite being inferior. The AI audiobook narration from Apple and Google might sound less than human, but that might not matter to some readers, reports The Guardian's Lois Beckett. Computer-narrated audiobooks have gotten pushback from professional narrators and prompted skepticism from publishing professionals who argue that AI is no substitute for human narration. Quote, but Apple is targeting its digital narration technology at small publishers and independently published authors, says Beckett. Many of author Kristen Effridge's readers are senior citizens, live on a fixed income, read multiple books a week, and are very price sensitive. But because they have accessibility issues, audiobooks are a good option if priced right. Quote, my choice was not between a human narrator and a digital narrator, says Effridge. My choice was between not doing audio and doing AI, end quote. The one novel of Effridge's done with professional narration is wonderful, but costs $21.99, she said, a price that is out of range for her readers. Quote, AI could be a good option for readers who care about cost. A lot of people are becoming more used to listening to AI voices, end quote. While some voiceover artists may worry the AI narrators are going to take their jobs, Effridge expects the market will evolve so that there are two different audio products, similar to how many books are sold as hardcover and paperback. In a related story, Amazon's Audible just emailed all ACX users to let them know they would be dropping audiobook prices across the board, though they said author royalties would remain consistent. Interesting stuff. Claire, I feel like I've been singing or talking the whole episode. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't change a thing. Okay. About you singing and talking the whole episode.
Good.
Yeah, I think that I agree with Etheridge here. I don't think these are really competing at this point. Maybe they will. But I have series that it is not ever going to be profitable for me to pay a narrator for them. My Jessica Christ series, 7 books. I already, you know, I priced it out. It would be something like $24,000 to make all of those audiobooks. And I don't think that I'm going to be making back $24,000 on audiobooks anytime soon. And that's not something my business is going to invest in. But if I did something that was very cheap, like AI, it would generate enough revenue that I could start to put that aside for a good narrator someday.
Right. You could actually use the AI money for the human narrator. That's crazy, but cool.
Yeah. And I think that it's great because that is not a smart financial decision to pay someone to do all those books right now. It's not a smart business decision for me, but I do feel concerned because there are, you know, accessibility issues with not having things in right. audio for people who are, you know, visually impaired, that sort of thing. So I would like to do that too, but I can't afford it. So maybe AI is that good stepping stone. I also see that this little bit at the end about Audible dropping the price on ACX, that could happen kind of at any time. The margins are getting slimmer and slimmer for authors. And, you know, this is just what happens when we're running businesses. And of course, I want to support really good voice actors. And I would love an amazing voice actor for all of my series. But sometimes, you know, small businesses have to make decisions. We're not making decisions because we want to make a little bit more profit. We're making decisions because we can or can't afford things, period.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So we already kind of answered this, Claire, a little bit, but one way to support human narrators is to maybe use funds from AI narration to pay for human narrators. But is there any other ways you can think of that authors can use AI narration and still support these vocal artists?
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of things you can do. You can have multiple versions of a book. You can use AI narrators, or you could use human narrators for promos and have them read portions if that's more within your budget. You know, if they have a huge following, you might want to just hire them on and hope that they're going to bring a lot of, you know, listeners with them. And that's more in something like romance, where you tend to have these narrators who do have a following. So there's a lot you can do, and I don't think it's a all or nothing decision. I think you go on a series by series basis. I think you go on a genre by genre basis, because there's no definite this is going to make a lot of money, definite this is not going to make a lot of money, but you make decisions that have certain probabilities attached to them. And so if a series has a high probability of making money back with, you know, a human narrator, then do that one. You know, yeah. There's, you are the boss, and you can split up your projects in that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I think you have a question for me.
I do. Which authors should consider AI narration for their books?
Piggybacking on what you said with the genres, I think for nonfiction authors who can't necessarily afford a human narrator, nonfiction readers consume a lot of audio. And if you can have something available for them in audio, a lot of these folks think of themselves as movers and shakers, and they're always listening to something, a podcast, a whatnot. And I think that they are going to be if there's like a levy where you're trying to get AI narration through a particular genre, it's going to go to nonfiction first, I think, because there is less of the, oh, this person saying dialogue sounds weird when there's no dialogue. And so that is something to consider with the nonfiction narration. I think if you're a nonfiction narrator who wants audio, but you can't afford it, then you might be a good candidate for it. But that doesn't mean fiction authors wouldn't find value in it. Something I'm trying with, I'm going to do an AI audiobook for self-publishing and email marketing. And I have some dialogue in mind, so I'm using a line by line, this person speaking is going to be this narrator. So it's really just going to be like multi-narrator, and that's how you're going to determine who is when someone's speaking and when they're not. And I'm hopeful that that'll still be a decent experience for people.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds smart.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll let you know in retrospect.
Yeah, if it could be smart. It could be very unsmart.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm excited to see which one.
That's the game we play in indie publishing. Is it smart or unsmart?
Smart or unsmart? Here on the Sellmore Book Show.
Only one way to find out, and that's to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So we did a lot of singing already, but meow, here comes the lightning round. If you're not watching the video, you're missing my shoulder shimmies. Okay, so Claire, if money is tight, where should an author focus their spending?
This may surprise you, but I think that if money is tight, an author should be focusing their spending on a marketable cover. Because without that, no one will ever see inside the book.
Yeah. I'm all for that. I love that.
Brian, if money is flush, where should an author spend their money?
If money is flush, an author should spend their money on things that are going to help their self-care. That may mean getting a virtual assistant to handle some of the things you dislike doing, but you do have to train them. You can't just abdicate. You have to delegate. It can be to take some time off and get yourself in a better headspace and maybe have things around, like a better desk setup. Like, self-care is going to lead so much more to your productivity than like, oh, throw it into this ad type or buy this course. Like, spend it on yourself first.
Sustainability. That's, yeah. I mean, if you don't focus on it, your career is short.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Claire, how do you know? And we'll say the general you, not specifically you. How do you know if a book is worth writing?
Well, the easiest answer is you know that a book is worth writing if you can't not write it. Sometimes the idea keeps coming back to you over and over and over again, and you just, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write it. That can be worth writing for your own well-being. Now, if you have a bunch of different projects that you could work on, how do you decide which one to work on? Well, it would depend on what your goals are, and it would depend on what you find meaningful. So if it's just, I want to make the most money, okay, then you would look at which book fits more neatly into a hot genre. If you want to create something really, you know, unique and you want to be more of a trailblazer, then pick the one that is going to be a little bit off the beaten path. And, you know, we're the Weird Robot Show today. So you should go with that. There's nothing wrong with that. So you really need to get clear on what is worth your time and what you will be glad you did 10 years from now.
I like that. Perspective, once again.
All right, Brian, how can an author determine the best writing conference or event for them?
So this is interesting. I know we all have our opinions on these events, but an author can determine the best writing conference or event for them by asking people who've gone to that event, how was this for a newer author? How was this for an author in this genre? How was this for this? What kind of vibe did you feel? You really want to kind of go deeper into those questions, because it's easy to get caught up in the hoopla, because there's definitely events in this space that there's a lot of hoopla. And so you need to dive deep, do your own fact finding, because if you just get excited because you see other people like, I'm doing my ticket, you might not do the research that is necessary.
Totally. Yeah.
Claire, kind of a similar, on the similar line, how important would you say networking is? And I'll even say relationship building is for authors.
Well, I think that every author needs to be networking. That is going to create a safety net through networking. But how people network is very different. I was actually at a networking event this week, and it was not writing related. It was just general networking. Yeah. And I wanted to run. because I was like, I have to talk to strangers. What do you mean? Who does that? What do I say to them? We're not even in the same industry. Like, do I talk about a movie I just watched that was good? You know, so it made me very nervous. And I think that's what a lot of introverts feel when they hear the word networking.
Right.
But you can network just by meeting one person at a time. One person a good connection every time you go to an event is how you build a network, because then they will say, oh, you got to meet this other person, and you'll meet that other person, and then you're building your network. So it can happen slowly over time. It doesn't have to be inorganic. It doesn't have to be forced, but you're going to be doing this in complete isolation without a network. And that is very, very hard to sustain, because you're not going to realize that a lot of the problems you're experiencing are problems that everyone experiences, and you're going to feel like there's something wrong with you. Or when you need to problem solve, you're not going to have people to turn to. It's just necessary for the long term to know other people in your industry, even in a solitary profession. So if you don't do that, you're not going to last long.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We're in such a bubble, and you can't do this career in a bubble.
I mean, I credit almost all of my success to the people I have made connections with in this industry. Mm-hmm. Like you, Brian, like you've definitely helped me network, because you're an extrovert and I am not. So introverts, attach yourself to an extrovert. Do it right now.
Go find an extrovert, maybe one with a picture of his face on a bag.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you're not around, Brian, I can always attach myself to Jamie Albright. You know, she is a connector. So find those connectors and just lurk, you know, just lurk behind them. But yeah, it is just so essential. And I credit my success to it. So, you know, it's not like, oh, well, you can be like me if you just work hard. It's like, that's not it. You got to have some luck. And the more people you know, the luckier you get.
That's absolutely true. We need a question of the week, Claire, talking about the AI audio and also talking about dollars and cents a little bit in this weird singing robot show. So what do you think we should ask about?
I think we should ask about AI audiobooks. I think we should put the question to other people. How would you use AI narrators differently from human narrators?
I like it. How would you use AI narrators differently from human narrators? And is AI audio now a part of your plan for 2023 or beyond? Not everything needs to go on this year's plan, I've learned. I've learned that the hard way. You can go to sellmorebookshow.com or the comments for Sell More Book Show After Party. We accidentally missed an episode in there, so sorry about that, but it'll go out there. We'll make sure there's a question of the week. It'll be fantastic. Claire, I hope your Kickstarter for Alice Luck yields not just a lot of fun for you, but also pre-sells a whole bunch of copies.
I would love that. I can't wait to get this story out to people. It is probably the funnest project I've ever worked on.
Hey, good. I'm so glad to hear that. Awesome. And if you want to know more about my self-publishing live writing to market event, it's coming up in just a couple of weekends into February, the 25th and the 26th. I have to go look. It's one of those. It's a weekend. It's a Saturday, Sunday in February. And you can go to selfpublishinglive.com to find out more. For Claire, I'm Brian. Have a great week of bookselling, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week for episode 461. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy bookselling.